Well, here we are. It's January 19th. Whoa, 2007. Well, that year went by quick. It'll be January 19th, 2008 here in a minute. Anyway, we had a great time the other night, on Saturday night, with a lot of new listeners. I'm really liking that that thing that Don put on there, that front thing on the website there where you just go to instant communication and you can talk to me while we're on the show. And today's show, we're going to continue on with the seminar thing, which is going to be a completely encapsulated deal. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to have Judge Wynn Miller on. He's really great. He knows a lot about the Middle East, and he knows a lot about the law. This boy is, he'll keep you out of trouble. In fact, I've worked a little bit with some of his friends. They're amazing. And we got another thing to announce, that it's Rays of www.raysoftruth.tv. That's Rays of Truth, www.raysoftruth.tv. That's our new Paradigm Fred Bell membership site, where we do a lot of cool stuff over there. So a lot going on. And more stuff coming, obviously. I can't wait till we start doing .TV and doing television, and that's something we're all working on here on the Internet, and that's going to happen pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start exactly where I left off last Friday, right to the Word, and we're going to have fun.
Well, this happens in the city. So you might not have, for example, a city of San Francisco has a certain environment, it's got a certain geophysical location because it would give it a certain polarity of the magnetic field of the Earth, interfering or interacting with the magnetic field of a human. Unfortunately, the magnetic field of the Earth interacts in most people in a negative way, used to being positive because there are more people thinking negative on this planet than there are positive, so therefore you have to overcome the planetary aura frequency, which causes a problem in our solar system, because if the Earth's polarity is being influenced by negative people, or what I call growth-resistant people, then the whole solar system is going to feel this, because the solar system,
the sun is
all
now
the different planets
have
auric fields around them, or magnetic fields of varying magnitude.
But the sun is shooting lots of the solar flares off. They're on the
causes earthquakes, for example. The
PBS radio site inside my personal
so
section.
Therefore, if the Earth's aura field would become more positive and synchronous with the
then HARP is
aura fields
into
of
this
the planets
too,
that are
by the
joining
way.
It. Then we would have less earthquakes or different kinds of
updates.
Negative things that happen in nature. And so therefore, if you have the San Francisco environment, people living in it, generating auric fields, which have magnetic components, pretty soon you have the whole polarization of the city of San Francisco. And the San Francisco energy's aura field, for example, would be different than the city of Los Angeles. And if you look at the city of New York, it's got a different feeling than Los Angeles or San Francisco. This is how aura frequencies work. And pretty soon you have all of the cities adding up. So you have all these different conflicting or personality differences, but you're finally going to get a summation of that, and you're going to end up with an auric field of the United States. Then what happens is, if you get an aura field of the United States, you could say that's a national aura field. And then you go on and you can say, well, now we got all different nations have different auric fields. And so you have the national field of the Soviet Union, the national field of the Middle East, the national field of South America. And the summation of all these fields then gives you the summation field of the Earth. And like I said earlier, the Earth's summation field produced by all these different societies, where we still have wars like the Iraqi war that's going on. And if you remember the earlier part of the tape, I was writing it, started this tape series, or was working on it on the eve of the Iraqi war. So since that, and the war has developed, which we had kind of anticipated that it would. So this is the aura fields that we're talking about. One day when man becomes 100% peaceful within himself, projects that onto his neighbor man, and then the planet will become peaceful. The planet's peace will be felt in the solar system. There'll be galactic peace. We'll no longer have these weird storms that we have, these lack of rains in areas. We'll have less of the, you know, too much rain in one area, not enough in another. And pretty soon we'll have harmony all over the planet. So getting into touch with yourself and getting in touch with the aura field is very, very important. Also within these auric fields that we talk about, the summations of these auric fields, are other intelligences that are work. For example, if you were to take all of the human beings in the United States and put them into a national energy field, you end up with a galvanized field that an angel can dominate or populate. So angels can come down from the astral plane and assume this energy field and work within this energy field, good angels or bad angels, whichever polarity happens to be there at the time. It doesn't matter. There are large entities that superimpose themselves and align themselves with these auric fields and have an influence. So the idea in meditation is to purify the negative energies out and cause the overall aura field that you put out to become positive, which then automatically pushes away any negative entities that's influencing the total field. And we'll get more into this, but this is the kind of stuff that the extraterrestrial entities work with. Aura fields, the study of aura fields is incredibly important, and we'll be constantly referring back to different aspects of this throughout this tape series. By now, I guess you're starting to realize the incredible importance of minerals in the body. Now, in the formulas, one of the reasons, by the way, I got into formulations was because that I was looking around and taking other people's vitamins, and I found that vitamins were not being formulated for the times. For example, a formula in the 50s might not be a very good source of nutrition for the 60s or 70s, simply because maybe in the 1950s there were more different kinds of nutrition coming from the foods than there were in the 60s and 70s, and the types of pollution had either gotten worse or gotten better, depending on, you know, for example, asbestos poisoning was a lot higher in the 60s than it was in the 70s because people became aware of it and did things to combat it. Whereas in the 80s and 90s, we're getting into problems with the ultraviolet, necessitating a much higher amount of vitamin A in the system, because ultraviolet, for example, and infrared attacks the immune system. Vitamin A, of course, combats that. So back in the 50s and 60s, the problem with ultraviolet wasn't nearly as severe. So these are the kinds of considerations. Another thing is that we never formulate today with iodine or salts in our vitamins, because we find there's way too much iodine, way too much salt already in the kinds of foods that people are eating, and you can't avoid it. I mean, any kind of food, even if you're a vegetarian, you're going to run into these kinds of problems. The kinds of minerals, by the way, we use are chelated minerals. And what chelated minerals are is they have an electrical charge barrier built around them. For example, if you were to take two magnets, like a North Pole and a North Pole magnet, and hook them together, they'd repel. But if you took a positive charge and a negatively charged magnet, they'd attract. And the intestinal walls, or the villi, as they call them, where nutrients are absorbed, are negatively charged. By the way, most of your minerals are absorbed in the latter part of the small intestine, the first part of the large intestine. And there's usually a problem there in the fact that in the large intestine, people are full of all kinds of materials and chemicals that they've accumulated. So I recommend a good program of enemas, and even colon therapy sometimes to people. When we do the enemas, we recommend the kava coffee because it's deacidified, not decaffeinated. The caffeine admitted anally, what it does to the system is it stimulates the liver. It's not going through your digestive tract, so it has a different effect than it would if you were drinking it. It has a cleansing effect because it causes the production of bile in the liver to go way up, which then cleans the body out. If you're doing a lot of enemas, you should also put friendly bacteria like acidophilus back in your body.
This seminar series is continued on the other side.
Well, we'll turn this puppy over here and get this thing going on the other side. That little tape jumped through there pretty fast. And we're having some fun today. Okay, number 4B coming up. We're going to have a little bit more here, another half an hour coming up. And it just gets better. And I'm trying to give you updates on some of this stuff, the mineral stuff, but the stuff that goes on with the government and the HARP is a real problem right now. Because they're actually accentuating what the vibratory frequency of the earth being that it's not properly balanced anymore. They're accentuating that with these storms. And then, of course, they have this extreme weather condition. Now, it's the fact.
In our vitamins, that you are a kind of a person that might do enemas from time to time, so we do put a small amount of freeze-dried acidophilus in our vitamins, which helps you digest the vitamins as you take them on a daily basis. And even if you don't take or do enemas or any kind of colon irrigation, the fact that the freeze-dried bacteria, the friendly bacteria, is present will help you assimilate and raise your assimilation of our vitamins. When the positively charged metallic minerals are ingested, the vast percentage are thus attracted by a negative charged membrane, because, like I said earlier, the intestinal walls are negatively charged. There they are held with a relatively small amount passing through into the bloodstream. The result is that the absorption of most of these metallic minerals is very inefficient. The majority passes unabsorbed through the intestine and is excreted. With iron, for example, it is estimated that less than 1% to 4% is absorbed, thus available for body utilization due to the barrier of iron naturally present in the intestinal wall. Chelation increases absorption because chelating agents wrap themselves around the mineral iron and by doing so tend to neutralize the positive charge. The neutralized metallic mineral is not attracted or repelled by the membrane wall. The neutral chelate thus passes through the villi and into the bloodstream. This is just a simplified explanation of it. Now, I've had women come to me with deficiencies in iron, and they would say, well, I'm taking iron, it's not helping me any. What they're not realizing is we're not looking at the full need of the red blood cell for iron. It also has to have large amounts of oxygen, so we use vitamin E for oxygen. And what happens is, in the case of a woman taking iron and not getting a result from it, is that the life of the red blood cell in oxygen is 90 days. And so what happens is about 88 days goes by of taking the iron, and the cell dies and reproduces itself deficient again. It doesn't stay living long enough to get the complete cycle charge of the iron into it, to get the complete DNA message and benefits. So to get around this problem, we increase the oxygen by increasing large amounts of vitamin E in our formula. If you look at the formula, you'll find a considerable amount of vitamin E in each dosage, which is very necessary. Manganese is another mineral that we think is very important in the body. It works with the B complex to overcome laziness, sterility, and marital weakness is one of my favorite explanations. It also combines with an enzyme, phosphatase, to build strong bones. Much of the manganese is found in your liver. Manganese is needed for a good enzymic function so foods can be digested and vital nutrients extracted for overall body utilization. Manganese is also important in the utilization of thiamin, biotin, choline, and vitamin C. Now, one of the things we do in our formulas is we do what's called synergistic formula. And a synergistic formula means that there's a time release factor in there that causes certain vitamins to combine at the right times to get the maximum effort. Whereas if they're all going into the system at once, some vitamins will combat one another. It's a well-known fact that, for example, you wouldn't take vitamin E and vitamin C together because one would combat the other and you wouldn't get the benefit of either one of them. And vitamin A, if taken without by itself in some forms, will putrefy in the large intestine, which is not good either. So it's important to really understand what's going on. We put a lot of calcium. We use the chelated calcium form. It's probably one of the most abundant minerals in the body. About 99% of the calcium in the body is deposited in the bones and teeth. Now, once you stop growing, this is real interesting. A lot of people don't realize about calcium is the heart requires it. And I'm sure some of you out there from time to time have gotten cramps. And when you get cramps, it's not oftentimes, like they say, a vitamin C deficiency, but it's a calcium deficiency because the heart has to have calcium in order to produce actin. And when it happens in the body runs out of calcium, it starts going into the heart, the bones, and getting out the calcium from the bones, which produces a cramping effect. And some heart problems can be caused by a calcium deficiency. Now, also, we put vitamin D in there. Normally, you can't absorb calcium without large amounts of vitamin D. Vitamin D is normally called the sunlight vitamin. But however, because of the ultraviolet layer stressing out the sun's rays and switching them to the wrong frequency, the calcium, which used to be available in 15 international units per square inch of the skin, is no longer abundant like it was. So it becomes, the vitamin D. So it becomes very important to assimilate the vitamin D and the calcium together. And so once again, in our formula, we use these two in combination. There's a company called Cooper's that's in Costa Mesa. The distributors are out of Costa Mesa, California, Coopers, and they make a very good external calcium that can be taken with our formula, and it complements it very well. Manganese is another mineral that works with the B complex. It's also very good to work with the immune system and helps overcome different kinds of resistances to ailments, gives strong nerves. And we also use sodium, potassium, phosphorus in a strong combination. It's very important to have these three because when we were talking about the wires in the aura frequencies, in other words, we have these 72,000 wires starting at the base of the brain extending through the body. When these wires conduct electricity, they have little amplifiers every so many feet throughout their existence. These little amplifiers are like little pumping stations. It's just like you can imagine a water being pumped across the United, or oil maybe, or water being pumped across the United States. After a certain length of duration through a pipe, it would need an additional push because it would start to get too much back pressure in the pipe. So this would be a pumping station. Nerve impulses are the same way. So these little pushing stations that exist are called nodes of Renier, named after a Frenchman that discovered them back in the 19th century. And they have an amplifying effect to push the electricity signal on through. And if they become weakened, the electrical impulses go through the body too slowly, and the body becomes very slow. Now, zinc is an essential trace mineral occurring in the body in larger amounts than any other trace element except iron. The human body contains approximately 1.8 grams of zinc compared to 5 grams of iron. And people are always very, very low on zinc. In our nuclear receptor, even though a lot of the metals are classified that we use in it, one of them is zinc. And we did a lot of experiments back in the 80s when I was working with Harold Keith at Zenith Advanced Health Systems. We used to wear a bar of zinc. What we found is when you wear a bar of zinc, if you're deficient, your body would actually assimilate this zinc right from the bar, and it would weigh less and less per day as you wore it. And when we've also found that some people, when they wear the receptor, even though it has a heavy gold plate over the outside of it, when they're wearing the nuclear receptor, the body will eat through the gold and eat right into the zinc, and the back of the receptor ends up turning kind of a gray color as it absorbs the zinc. And remember, the receptor in itself is a very active device. It's not something that's always cosmetically pleasing to look at, although the original design was. When your body starts to digest it, it needs it, very much so, by electrolysis. Zinc is a constituent of insulin and also of the male reproductive fluid, which is a slight suggestion of its power. A lot of people that are impotent are low on zinc. It's made in the pancreas, where it helps the storage of glucogen and energy-producing substance. It combines with phosphorus to aid in respiration. It also sparks vitamin action. Zinc helps in the tissue respiration, the intake of oxygen, the expulsion of carbon dioxide, and the expulsion of toxic waste, because it works in through the lymphatic system. So if you're low in zinc, your lymphatic system starts to back up, and then you'll have some serious problems. With a switch from galvanized plumbing to copper, many people have become zinc deficient due to excess copper. Copper is very necessary in the formation and maintenance of hemoglobin, but we have removed it from our formulas because we found that people in America have too much copper in their systems already. And one of the side effects from copper being in your system, that is too much of it, it causes genetic effects in the reproductive cycles of human beings, and it causes a tendency of your children to have to be born with leukemia. If you check with the City of Hope, you're going to find up there that the amount of children every year goes up and up and up with the amount of copper that's going into the bloodstreams. Leukemia can almost double from one year to another in children. It's kind of sad because adults don't realize that just by taking copper-free supplements and filtering their water, because there's a lot of it in the pipes, they can eliminate some serious defect problems down the line. Zinc is also a component, by the way, of 25 different enzyme systems of digestion and metabolization. It helps control carbon dioxide levels in the body and metabolism of alcohol. A lot of people don't realize it, but when you assimilate, for example, a couple of soda pops like 7-Ups or Coca-Colas, your body produces a huge amount of ethanol in the brain. Almost a quart of alcohol is produced some days by people drinking eating a lot of sweets and drinking a lot of soda pops. And they don't realize the sugar is breaking down into alcohol because alcohol is a 12-carbon atom. The compound sugar is a 12-carbon atom. And when it breaks down to a 9-carbon atom on the way to becoming a 6-carbon atom, which the body can utilize in the insulin formations. But when it reaches a 9-carbon atom state, it is now in an alcohol form. That's why people get react. As a matter of fact, we found that a lot of children that are given a lot of sweets in their adolescence periods have a tendency to become alcoholics in their late teens. The absorption and utilization of vitamins, especially the B complex, requires zinc. Zinc is a constituent of insulin, which governs the utilization of sugars. Zinc is important for the sense of taste and smell. And people that smoke cigarettes are vastly deficient in this. And that's why they have to put so much salt and pepper and seasonings on there, because their zinc is so low now, they've lost the enzymes that allow you to enjoy the sense of taste. It's also very good for repairing the tissues after you have a burn, and is necessary in the immune system to help protect against infections. It helps repair the DNA and RNA, correcting the harmful effects of x-rays and radiation. Zinc helps reduce the cross-linking of biological macromolecules, reducing wrinkling, stretch marks, and aging. Zinc and vitamin E are necessary for the health of the reproductive system in both males and females, being especially required for the male prostate gland, which concentrates zinc 2,000% over levels present in the blood serum. Prostaglandin production, by the way, which chemically regulates hormones and organ function, also requires large amounts of zinc. And, of course, we need potassium along with the zinc. It's an essential mineral found in the intercellular fluid, and it's very, very important in the body. It helps regulate the water balance. People that are low on, that start absorbing and assimilating too much water, especially when you're trying to lose weight, you need to take more potassium. Now, these minerals that I'm talking about now are mostly considered the low-frequency band of minerals, and you realize that you're not even aware of the functions. Like I said previously, the autonomic nervous system is relying on your body to have an abundance of these different minerals available, and if they're not, you're going to have gradual failures, and they're going to affect your personality and your overall energy field. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is we'll get into a little bit into the high-frequency minerals, but now we're going to go into the vitamins. And of course, one of the first vitamins that comes to mind to me when I start thinking about vitamins is vitamin A. Now, vitamin A is, I oftentimes say, hey, you know, what's the first sign of a deficiency of vitamin A? And everybody says, eyesight. Well, that's not true. It's the immune system breaking down is the first symptom of vitamin A, and also the assimilation and metabolism of protein properly. And there was, of course, a scare. There were a couple scares put out because vitamin A is critical. Anytime there's a scare on a vitamin, you can bet it's critical, and the drug cartels don't want it out there. Vitamin B6 and A were two targets of a scare. And there's only been one case of vitamin A, what we call vitamin ptosis, or overdosing on vitamin A ever documented. This was a person that was taking 450 milligrams a day of it in an oil form, which is hard to assimilate. We use it in a palmitate form, and we use it in a beta-carotene form. And we use it in these two different forms because they're water-soluble, immediately assimilable into the bloodstream without even going into the liver. And they're great. By the way, vitamin A is incredible for fighting infections. It's an anti-cancer. It's been found in tests to cause regressions in squamous and basal cell carcinomas, which are forms of cancer. It is incredible to help the body have good healthy hair, good healthy skin, and all of these kinds of things. Even the loss of hair sometimes can be traced back to vitamin A. You know, I might also add that zinc also works with vitamin A to keep hair production up to a maximum. We use octocosanol because octocosanol also helps by the way, we use almost 1.5 milligrams of octocosanol in the XL Plus formula, which is very important because it gets oxygen to the heart, it gets oxygen to all the cells. It works very well with B15. We use B15 in our formulas too, in a form called N,N-dimethylglycine, which we get from Japan. We have to combine N,N-dimethylglycine with magnesium to produce the B15 in the body, but it in fact does. And the beauty of it is normally if you go out and buy B15 separately, it costs more for the same amount that we put in the XL Plus. In ours, you're getting it for free basically because it's part of the integrated formula. Now, when I said earlier we do things in synergistic ways, when you realize that the effects of vitamin E, which is also an antioxidant, like octocosanol, when they're combined together, they double and triple on each other. And then we use selenium. Selenium is a high-frequency one-way amplifier. If you get in the body, electricity tries to go through the body, and it goes through, like say you're sending a nerve pulse from your head down to your foot, telling your foot to move from point A to point B. If your body is low on selenium, you're going to get what's called feedback, and there's going to be resistance to your foot, or you're going to have a coordination reflex, which is caused by this resistance. And to overcome this resistance, the nutrients like selenium and germanium both work together to rectify the current and keep it moving in one direction. So therefore, when you hook it with vitamin E and octocosanol together, you amplify all of the things, all amplify off of each other because they're all working to oxygenate, to keep the electricity moving in one direction, keep the cells reproducing in the right way. So you start getting a summating effect. It's just incredible. And then to even amplify it more, we found that oil of primrose even amplifies this even more. So we use all of these in one synergistic combination. Now, our B-complex is also quite unique. Of course, we use B1, thiamine, which is important as a B-complex for cell oxidation, memory. It strengthens the heart. B2, of course, when you're going to the bathroom, and if you're working with our formulas, you're going to see a little bit of it going out. We call it the old yellow vitamin, riboflavin. It metabolizes tryptophan, which then allows nitrogen in adults to be metabolized and utilized more efficiently. This is really important if you're trying to attain vegetarianism, we found. Now, for example, if you were going from becoming a vegetarian, or you were a meat eater and you were becoming a vegetarian, and you want to eventually become a fruitarian and eventually a breatharian, this is something you don't do overnight. It takes a while. For example, a meat eater has taken years and years and years to condition his body to get certain amounts of protein from the meat itself, whereas a breatharian would be able to get it directly from nitrogen, like St. Teresa was able to do, from the atmosphere. The air, you remember, is 69% nitrogen. It used to be. It's more pollutants now. So you got to realize that your body has to go through changes to attain this state, and this takes years and years and years. It takes 90 days to reproduce a single series of red blood cells. It takes 6 months to reproduce a lot of skin cells and different cells in the body. It takes 7 years to reproduce a complete set of bone structures in the body. So to go through one cycle of complete reproduction of the body takes 7 years. So if you're switching from a meat to a vegetarian state, it might take you as long as 7 years to do this properly so that the hormone structures can rebalance and all these other kinds of things can take place. Now, when you get into the B complex further down into it, we need to look at what's called the nitrilicides. And a lot of vitamin manufacturers fail to put nitrilicides, complete complement of Bs from B12 to B17, in their foods. Now, you got to realize a long time ago, these wouldn't have been so necessary in the human diet, but unfortunately, if you look at the husks that used to occur on grains, they've been stripped, they've been shredded, they've been pressed, they've been heat treated, so the grains that you get and the kernels that you get aren't whole anymore, and most of the nutrition is in the outside of the kernel, close to where it was exposed to the sun. So you don't get these kinds of things. So as a result, your body can get carcinogenic. Carcinogenic means you're susceptible to the effects of nitrites and food preservatives and chemicals. So it becomes a catch-22. So it's necessary to get the laetrile. And we put the laetrile, the B17, in there. It comes in the form of an almond bran that we use in an acerola cherry, which is down in the herb part of our vitamins. A lot of people don't realize that. They've heard, oh, well, there's cyanide in that. You know, well, that's not what happens. Is if you're getting cancer, your body is not going to have an enzyme called rhodanase in the cells that are cancerous. And if you have a small amount of laetrile in your body, which is normal to have, and it has cyanide in it, which is normal to have, that cyanide is going to pass harmlessly through the body unless it comes to a cell that doesn't have rhodanase in it. If it comes to a cell that does not have rhodanase in it, the enzyme rhodanase, cyanide is going to be released from this laetrile or the B17. It's going to go right directly in and kill that cell. And that cell is a cancer cell. Because like I said earlier, this cancer cell does not have rhodanase in it. So it becomes a preventive. You know, if you pour a soda pop like a Coca-Cola on the floor or on a piece of plastic, it might eat a hole in it after a while. So the body's carries some powerful acids and some powerful toxins that it uses to fight other toxins, which are called antitoxins, which it's okay. This is a normal thing in the body as long as your body's balanced. And it has a tendency to correct itself. A lot of people don't realize this. And, of course, it was found when Ernest Krebs worked with the Russians, that if they took B-15, which is one of the nitrilicides, into the diets in Russia, they found you couldn't get a heart attack because you'd have too much oxygen in your system. So we put the full complement in there. And B-12 is another one, which is a very, very sensitive, nerve-oriented drug, vitamin. Because if you don't have enough B-12, you can get paranoid very fast. And if you look at certain vegetarians that don't have B-12 in their diet, they often have a tendency to criticize people that aren't vegetarians. This is an aspect of the personality that starts to manifest, this tendency to criticize others because they think they're better than they are because they're not eating meat, not killing the animal anymore, they're not having to kill to live, and they have all these philosophies that they start to expunge on you, which are not properly directed. Because, you know, it's in the proper way of spiritual consciousness, you do what's good for you and let other people do what's good for them. And if you want to have a positive discussion with a positive aspect of what your programs are to cross-integrate, that's fine. But to readily condemn somebody from where they're at because of a particular practice is totally wrong. And this can emotionally and psychologically oftentimes be traced back to the deficiency of B12, which is the beginning of the nitrilicide family. B6 is another vitamin that we put in there, paroxetine. And B6 is a very good, it works with the immune system, but it has a tendency to, the way B6 works, it works with the immune system as an emotional buffer to the astral plane, because the emotional energy, if your emotional body starts to get disoriented, what's going to happen is going to cause disease down in your physical body. And B6 is like a doorway B vitamin that will help prevent this kind of a situation from occurring. If there happens to be a problem in the emotional body, the B6 might buffer it from getting it down in the physical body. It also works very well with B3, niacin and niacinamide, to get rid of the effects of herpes in the body. And herpes, if you remember, is often considered a nervous disorder in the body first, before it becomes a physical disorder. Now, niacin is one of my favorites, because you can do a lot with niacin. First of all, your body will have a tendency to trap bad protein, especially if you're exposed to ELF or power transformers or things like that. Your body is not going to get a full set of genetic instructions anymore, which I'll talk about when we get into the receptor. And so therefore, you'll start metabolizing bad proteins for you. For example, things that you shouldn't digest, and you end up storing it in the mast cells of the body. When you put niacin or B3 in the body, you get a histamine reaction. And what happens is the body releases histamines, which go in and remove these particles. It constricts the blood veins slightly, so you get a higher increase in blood pressure, and you end up getting, you know, very toxic, and you turn red. This is meaning that there's a lot of antigens coming out of your body. The red expression is that you get the flushing is very healthy. It's a very healthy expression, but it scares a lot of people. And so what I do is I take enough niacin every single day, like a couple of grams, on top of my normal formulas even, so that what I can do is keep my body low on the antigen level, the anti-protein level. If you want to test yourself for allergies, for example, you can clear your body out and get up to a couple of grams a day of niacin with no flushes, and then start experimenting with different food groups. If you start getting a flushing after you take niacin, in other words, if you want to try eggs out, okay, you clean your body out, don't eat any eggs for a week or two, get your body neutral on a certain very, what I would call, bland diet, and then I would put one food group in that I wanted to test, maybe in the morning for breakfast. I would wait about 4 or 5 hours after, let the food group assimilate into the body, and then I would add niacin. If I turned red and started flushing, what happens is that, you know, that's toxic to your body. You're not assimilating it properly. Another thing that niacin is good for, along with vitamin C, I might add, is getting rid of smoking problems or habits. Smoking, one of the things that happens with smoking is that the body likes to assimilate nicotine from the tobacco smoke. And if you look at how the body functions, the reason that it likes nicotine is because this nicotine helps it assimilate lysine and arginine, and the nicotine and the lysine and arginine, which would normally be niacin or nicotinic acid, lysine and arginine, forms a group hormone called vasopressin, which is stored in the pituitary gland. And so as a result, when vasopressin is secreted by, for example, exposure to negative ionization or even meditative thoughts that are euphoric, it causes the body to feel real good. It gives you a sense of well-being. So smoking a cigarette, the body assimilates this nicotine real fast, and it has a tendency to feel good for a moment or two, get a rush, a positive rush, you might say. So people use that, and this, of course, the body starts chasing this habit. You can get the same good feeling by taking straight niacin over a period of time, and not only do you get the same good feeling, you don't get it as a temporary 15 or 20 second rush like you do smoking a cigarette. It's there all the time. But what happens is the body will cheat. And so if it gets this chemical mock-up, nicotine, it looks like nicotinic acid. And nicotine, of course, can be assimilated in less than 15 seconds, whereas niacin takes 4 or 5 minutes. The body is going to say, hey, I don't want to deal with this 4 or 5 minute trip. I want to go ahead and start having my nicotine in there every day for my euphoria. So as a result, you end up with a bad habit because the body is very lazy. But so what you have to do to get rid of this dependency on this bad habit is to start taking large amounts of niacin over a period of time, get through the flushing sensation, continue to smoke. Don't even bother stopping to smoke. And just continue taking niacin. It's not going to work like anabuse does when you try to keep alcohol in your system. It works harmoniously with the nicotine. They'll work together, and gradually the niacin will displace the nicotine, and pretty soon, one day, you'll light your cigarette up, and you realize it made you feel bad, and you felt so good, then you suddenly, when you stop feeling bad after 10 or 15 seconds where you normally felt good, now you feel bad because you smoked a cigarette. You go back to that 15-second period before you smoked a cigarette in your memory, and you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting more pleasure now from not smoking and taking niacin. And then you've got rid of the habit. It will work true with heroin and some other drugs too. And I worked with freebase addictions with people, but I also formulated a protein powder because there were some other complications that we found on these kinds of drug dependencies. But for overall smoking, just increasing your niacin dosage really helps a lot. And so we put a large amount of niacin. I put 50 milligrams of niacin in the vitamin, and I put 50 milligrams of niacinamide, which is a weaker form of it. And the reason I'm doing that is I try to eliminate the flushing with the 100 milligram combination that a lot of people are going to get. But like I say, if you've got a habit of tobacco or something, there's not enough in the formula to cause you to kick the habit. You're going to have to take some externally. I also use folic acid. Folic acid helps the DNA. Of course, the word comes from foliage or greenery when it was discovered. That's where its name came from. Folic acid works very well with biotin. It also works good with choline, which we also put in there. And these things work together forming acetylcholine, which is a very important neurohormone in the bile, on the body. Also what happens is the nervous system is strengthened. And a lot of times they found that folic acid has helped in the treatment of schizophrenia along with slippery elm bark, which we also put in the body. And these aren't put in as a medicine. They're put in to strengthen the nervous system because the nervous system is under so much stress when it starts to break down. If you don't have these small chemical biochemical constituents readily available in the form of vitamins and nutrition, you can have a gradual wearing down of the system. We use a PC lecithin form, which also is very important because the lecithin that we're using in there is very important to cover up the nerves in the body. The nerves, if they touch each other, will short circuit. You get crosstalk, which is often found in the form of tinnitus or ringing of the ears. So if you keep large amounts of lecithin in there, what happens is the body doesn't have a tendency to short circuit internally, and your hearing is always better, you feel better. And also your memory, it's been proven time and time again. And PC lecithin, by the way, is much more assimilable than the normal form of lecithin. It's more expensive. A lot of these ingredients are very expensive in here. This is not a cheap formula when we talk about XL Plus, because I don't believe in being cheap about your health. And a lot of people don't want to spend the money. They'll spend more money on their car or their dog than their own health. And you've got to realize that you've got to respect your own health, because you're the one that's going to earn the money. And you've got to be healthy to go out there and work away all day long or all week long so that you can have a nice dog or a nice car. We use inositol also, which is very important, along with para-aminobenzoic acid, PABA. These are considered vitamins within vitamins. They're complete complexes. By the way, all of these, the PC lecithin, the inositol, and PABA, have all been found to be life extension. Animals that have done these in studies have taken these vitamins, as well as people seem to live longer. Now, I'm continuing on now in the nutrition aspect here, and I wanted to stop. I'm talking about the vitamins that are necessary for the human aura field and for the human consciousness to function properly in. And one of the questions I often get asked is, how much additional supplementation should I take, and what are some of the general rules that are decent to follow. First of all, just like on vitamin E, for example, we have 50 times less vitamin E in our meals today than we did 50 years ago. So you pretty much need everything. Another question that people ask me is, well, can I take too much of something? No, you can't take too much of something. What happens is you might end up getting what we call expensive urine, because if your body, for example, has more of a particular nutrient than it needs, it's going to excrete it and urinate it through. That's okay. It's better to be urinating off a few excess vitamins than going to the hospital because you were suffering a stroke or a disease or a heart problem or a brain damage or whatever because you didn't take enough. In the United States, for example, the American Academy of Sciences set some general nutritional rules relating to vitamin measurements and the amounts of vitamins we need to consume on a daily basis. First of all, the standards of vitamin measurement fall into two categories, activity-based and quantity-based. The active-based measurements are the international units, IU, and the United States Pharmacopeia units, USP. Now, normally you'll see the IU on the vitamin formulas and the USP on drugs. But you will see USP on vitamins A, D, and E. The reason for this measurement is the strength of the raw material used may vary by weight because of different compositions of vitamin substances. Vitamin E from a liquid source versus a solid source are two examples I could give now. The quality-based measurements are used when a vitamin source has a standard strength and is expressed by weight. This will normally begin in grams or milligrams. Grams, by the way, is a little G, and milligrams is mg, which 90% of the vitamins are going to be mg. Mg, of course, is 1/1000th of a gram, or microgram, which is mcg, which is 1/1000000th of a gram. Now, the only thing that's measured pretty much in micrograms on most vitamins is vitamin B12 and octocosinol. However, we even use 1.5 milligrams in ours. Next come dosages. First of which is the MDR, which is what we call the minimum daily requirement.
This seminar series is continued on the next tape.
Well, we'll get the next tape right up there. I hope you're enjoying this. I love listening to this stuff because I've forgotten a lot of it. And it's like a great refresher course. It's really interesting. So we're down to the last few minutes of the show here today. I hope you're all enjoying it. I hope you, if we get this in the archives, you'll save a lot of money because we charge quite a bit of money for this particular seminar series. And, of course, you're listening to it for free. So that's kind of neat. And this was our 1992 seminar, a limited seminar that I did. It was a very private one. So anyway, we're spooling up another little tape here that'll take us into the end of the show, and I'll see you on Saturday night.
I'm not saying that you need to know in order to use a system, for example, one of our Firestar Orb systems or one of our meditation systems. You have to know exactly what you're doing with biochemistry, but it's always good to understand that there's a good, strong base of information going into the DNA of the cells created by the proper nutritional formulations that are designed to work on higher levels. And one other thing that people ask me about in closing, I might add, is that what about children? Can they take these vitamins? Yeah, children can take them, and they can take them in the same dosage as adults, but I usually recommend for children under about 9 years old to take about half the amount that the older people would do. So if you're taking two packets a day, you would just take, they would just take one. And secondly, I would recommend that they would take maybe one of the large oval-shaped ones and one of the round pills. And I'm not prescribing or anything like that. I'm just suggesting this would be the better way to go with children.
A packet is five pills,
quite as much
the
nutrition
as
adults. But I'll tell you what, with the kids that are living in these cities where all the smog is, when they look at their lungs,
we usually recommend people start off with five, and then if they don't sleep, that keeps them up too long, then we cut it back to four or three. Kids, we start off with one. They get quite a bit of energy.
All-purpose formula. If there's areas in your body that you want to work on, I highly suggest that you add to these formulas with a few extra pills of your own. For example, if you're trying to get rid of smoking, you'd probably want to increase your niacin a little bit if you're running a cold or a fever, you might want to increase your vitamin C with another form of straight estrogen C that we also have available if you're interested, and along with vitamin A and maybe chromium. If you want to work on your weight problems, you might use certain kinds of herbs that will help balance the weight, like I mentioned earlier, like fennel and some of those kinds of herbs as an additional outside source. If your circulation is a little bit bad, you might want to increase the amounts of vitamin E on the side, increase your circulation. So with a little bit of common sense, you can, because you've got this beautiful base to work with, you can make the base work for you by just adding to the adding outside different kinds of pills that you might need for a specific purpose. As far as if you're in heavy meditation or you're trying to work heavily and change the hormone structures of the body around so that you go into the altered states like levitation or interdimensional meditation or spoon bending, kinesiology, any of those kinds of things, then you want to go into the more exotic herbs to supplement with additional amounts of ginseng, which I recommend only the Siberian, or more Kotai or Gotikola or other herbs along these lines. Next phase, we're going to go into the pyramids and what they do for you and how you can benefit from them, which will be really fun. We don't really understand all these powers yet. Anything to do with Pleiadian science, however, or extraterrestrial science, that's coming. After what we talked about earlier, first in the body we have minerals. Minerals work through, they galvanize three nervous systems, the autonomic, the parasympathetic, and the sympathetic nervous system in the body. And when they galvanize this, that means they produce electricity through the neurons and the brain, down through the different cortexes, down through the spine. The field has a lot to do with metabolizing because it feeds back into the endocrine system. And of course, when we get into the nuclear receptor, it works through the endocrine system. It's fine-tuned for the weakest organ, which fills that organ up. And then later on, you fine-tune to the organ beyond that.
Pyramids, which
detoxify the brain, which we're going to get into in a few minutes. And all these different things are going to go on.
Going back to our chain,
we go from the minerals to the enzymes, where the pH factor is determined. The enzymes bring in the vitamins, which form proteins. Proteins then form polypeptides and peptides. And then after that, we have a formation of the hormone. And the hormone, of course, is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. And you'll probably hear me say that again a few more times before I'm finished here. If you have no sexual hormones, you'll have no sex. If you have no thymus hormones, you have no immune system and no heartbeat. If you have no pituitary hormones like vasopressin, you'll not be able to think properly. The entire environment, the ELF, all the other things out there, the smog, the ultraviolet light that comes through the ozone layer, all these different things have a tendency to shut down or impair or impede part of this chain that I've laid out to produce the hormones. Now the hormones then have to go into the bloodstream, and they do this by reaching a level of vibration. And this is done through the endocrine system because the hormones are stored in seven different endocrine glands. The endocrine glands then respond by vibratory level frequencies. These frequencies correlate to different musical notes, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and they can be in different octaves. They can correspond on the same octaves of musical notes on higher frequencies, which are octaves above in light frequencies, in the red, green, yellow, blue, violet spectrum of the rainbow, or they can respond into the vibratory level of the moon or the stars or all these kinds of things. We first started bringing pyramids in about 1973, 1974, and we used to make a science kit in those days, which was one of the first things that we did when I was working with Pyramid Power 5. The science kit consisted of brine shrimp, and what people would do is they would buy two solutions of shrimp in the science kit and a wooden pyramid and a little compass and a couple little solution bins. What they would do is they would grow the shrimp at home, the shrimp eggs at home, and they'd have one group under the pyramid, which had been aligned to the north. The other group of shrimp would be 10 feet or more away. After about 6 to 8 weeks, the 10-foot control group, which was placed away from the pyramid, the shrimps would all die. And this is significant in the fact that the shrimp is very similar to a human single cell. The shrimp under the pyramid could live 1 or 2 years. People would say, well, why is this? Well, this pyramid is blocking the effects of negative energy, negative energies and radio frequencies. Remember when WLW went on the air, Voice of Cincinnati,
at 500,000 watts of power. They destroyed all the vegetation around the transmitter. Everybody got sick. In 1929, the FCC stepped in and made their first ruling against American broadcasters that you can't have more than 50,000 watts of power. So they cut the transmitted power down. It's because of these negative health effects. So it gives you an idea. You know, that's why also we developed the giant pyramid to sleep in with the orb and the capstone. We make a 6-foot pyramid for a small bed. We make an 8-foot pyramid for a queen size, and we make a 10-foot for a king size bed. And I'll tell you something, the investment, I've been sleeping in those pyramids for years. I had 3 children to have home births in them. Hardly any labor pains at all with the mothers when they delivered them. The children are growing up very healthy. The pyramids are so useful. You can use them, for example, to defrost vegetables if you have to eat frozen foods. It helps bring the taste back. Simply because if you put the pyramid over orange juice or grapefruit juice, you will make it turn from bitter to sweet. When it turns from bitter to sweet, it's showing you that the pH value is changing and the potential hydrogen value, which I'll get into more later. And this is an amazing thing. If those of you that eat meat, you want to tenderize your meat, defrost it under a pyramid, or if it's fresh, put it under the pyramid for 20 minutes before you serve it. If you've got a bouquet of flowers that you want to preserve, you can hang it upside down under the pyramid for a couple of weeks, and all the resins will go up into the flower, giving its original luster. The pyramid allows the flower to dry out without the interference of bacteria, which would normally cause decay and shriveling. And then after 2 weeks, put the flowers right side up, spray them with some lacquer, and watch them for 100 years. One thing that people, I might say, is wearing the pyramids, it has a tendency, they say, to shrivel your head or shrink your brain or something. This is not true. It has a tendency to clean out or cleanse your brain. But all the pyramid does when it's over something that's alive is just keep it vibrating on its normal rate. In the case of cheese or milk, when you put milk under a pyramid, it turns into cheese without getting rotten or smelling bad after a week or two. It's because the pyramid allowed the friendly bacteria to work with the milk, and the unfriendly bacteria were driven away by the pyramid. It's great to keep a pyramid over your vitamins. It keeps the auric field at full potency then. There's a million different household uses. A lot of people like to water their plants with pyramid water. We have a 12-inch thing that we call a Vitamid that we sell, which is very nice. And what we do with that is we put 1-quart bottles under a Vitamid overnight, and then we water the plants the next day with them. It keeps the mealybugs out, all these kinds of things. It's amazing. Now, I wasn't the first one to put a pyramid on someone's head. I developed a gold pyramid several years ago, back about 1974, when I was working with Pyramid Power 5, because we were tired of having to align the pyramid to the north to make it work properly. And the wooden pyramids that we put in the science kit had to come along with a compass. So I did some research and found the gold molecule happened to be the pyramid shape. And so by plating pyramids with gold and other metals, I used nickel underneath the gold and copper under that. This is what's called orgone plating, or using active and passive layers. And the reason that we use this is because it makes it act like a transistor. The electron or the energy field moves from a negative to a positive to a negative field because it's active and passive metals. It increases or amplifies the pyramid effect. If you want a term for the pyramid effect, you could call it bioplasmic force or chi or a lot of different things. It's an etheric energy that when it's felt by living cells, tells the cells what to do. Because you got to look at the body as being etheric and then cellular. Actually, etheric, electrically cellular, if you want to be full on correct. So the first pyramid that we developed was the Pyridome back in 1975 to wear on the head. And I didn't actually put it on someone's head. Gary Couture, a doctor I was working with in Newport Beach, who had a clinic down there, he put it on people's heads when he was muscle testing. And he found that when he was muscle testing for vitamin deficiencies, regardless of what vitamin you were deficient in, when you put a pyramid over that particular spot on the test point, it would show up as though the person had that vitamin in their body. We also found in later tests that if you wore a pyramid, that your body would digest and assimilate vitamins about 500% more efficiently. That means if you took 1 gram of vitamin C, your body would have thought that you took 5. And now with this new ester C that we've got in all our products, your body thinks when you take 1 gram of C with a pyramid, you're actually taking 5 grams, which is amazing. So So if you take 5 grams, your body thinks you've got 25 grams. It completely saturates the body with healthy vibratory frequencies that causes the cells to bind up properly. Pyramids, we had a lot of fun with. We found that when you wore the gold pyramid called the pyridome, it would put you in the alpha state. Just about anybody could go in the alpha state. So a lot of people, when they can't get in the alpha state, get severe headaches. So we found that by wearing the pyramid, going in the alpha state, the headache would disappear. We also found that if your people were uptight and angry, it would help them relax and mellow out. And one of the greatest drug addicts at that time, back in the 70s, was the American housewife on Valium. So it was a great market to launch a success, getting rid of Valium and putting people in the pyramids, which I thought was a lot better than the drug. I mean, one of the things that really hurt me was watching these people go off Valium. They've been taking massive amounts of it, all the liver damage that it did and how their complexion would change. Well, I got an idea that, you know, if people had arthritis and they had low energy, or one or the other, by the using of copper with the pyramid, we could probably get the same effect, or maybe better the effect, than the Japanese were getting at the time when they were putting copper bracelets on people. But when we went ahead and plated the pyramid with copper over gold, I had Gary test it. It didn't work. I said, "No, what's going on here? You know, this copper should work." So what happened was, to make a long story short, we didn't know what we were doing yet with the pyramids in the process. We thought we did, but it didn't work by logic. So I took 100 pyramids home and stacked them up under a great big 8-foot pyramid and let them sit for 6 to 8 weeks. After 6 or 8 weeks went by, I noticed that there was a bunch of spots on the pyramid, big spots. And so I looked at them, and it looked like they had freckles. What had happened was that the energy field had eaten through the copper and exposed the gold down below, but yet there was a lot of copper on the areas where there weren't little spots coming through or where it hadn't been eaten through, so they were speckled, gold and copper. And what had happened, it established some sort of a breathing pattern all by itself. It was, you know, breathing this chi energy. So I took it back to Gary Couture, asked him to test it, see if it worked now on people, and he tested it, and it worked very well. And he said, "What'd you do to these things?" And I said, "I didn't do anything to them. They did it to themselves." So it was an accidental discovery. It was a series of accidental discoveries that led us up to the Palladians, where they actually came in contact with what we were doing. Even though I was having contact with Sannyasi back in the early 70s, there wasn't much going on in science. It was more about us and souls and what relationship I'd had with her in a past life and my relationship with the Pleiades, and really not a whole lot in science, but they were watching the pyramid thing develop. I know they were watching it very carefully, and they got active in 79 when they gave us the first design of the irradiator, which I'll get into later. So anyway, we started putting these copper pyramids out, and it would increase people's energies, and we didn't really treat diseases with them because legally we couldn't, but we noticed that swelling would go down on some people that had arthritis. And the way that the medical profession had been dealing with this problem is giving people cortisone shots, which stimulates the corticosteroids from the adrenal glands. And what happens to the adrenals when you stimulate them with these hormones is the adrenals quit working. The Japanese idea of having them wear the copper bracelet on the left hand or right hand side activated the blood a little bit, and this energy caused the steroids, the corticosteroids, to start stimulating the body a little bit, but not as much as the pyramid. So then we went on a little bit further with our studies and decided, well, this physical energy would happen when you wear the fire dome. Why not stimulate the brain areas and increase the mental energy as well as the physical energy? Because we now could relax people with the pyridome, increase their energy with the fire dome. What about a ray dome, which of course hadn't been invented yet? So we tried different silver metals. None of them seemed to work properly with our process we developed at that time, which was a heating process. That's when you buy the pyramid, you'll see that there's a heat process on there. And that was another accident, too, in the fact that we couldn't get enough pyramids to sit on top of each other long enough to sell as many as we were making to get the little spots. So when that...
Well, we run out of time on that one. We'll continue right there next Saturday, though. That will be the 19th. What is this, 19th? No, it'll be I don't know. This is the 19th. Let's see, that'll be the end of the month. So anyhow, listen to our show Saturday night. Once again, go to www.raysoftruth.tv for our new program over there, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great evening. Good afternoon.